That was Children of the Dark from Poltergeist, Knock Music. Now I'd like to feature DSFU Red Leafs hockey at this time. On May 15th, the independent Red Leafs announced that Cale Dolan, who was among the last two BCIHL players on the team, signed with the Adelaide Adrenaline of the Australian Hockey League, which the team also confirmed on May 15th. During his time with SFU, Cale Dolan helped the Red Leafs to 2 BCIHL crowns, followed by last two seasons as an independent team, where he won 3 out of 6 games last season and a save percentage of 868. Just a minute, please. I could be wrong about the number of championships he led. Actually, according to the SFU Red Leafs website, Cale Dolan led the Red Leafs to 2 provincial championships, 2 BCIHL crowns, when they were part of the BCIHL.
CJSF is looking for new volunteers to come in and make radio. No experience is necessary. You can learn to DJ, edit sound, produce news, make posters, and host your own show. Come out to a weekly station orientation to get involved. Orientation times can be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca. If you're a regular listener of this show or other shows on CJSF, we'd love to hear from you. Tell us about what you like and why you like it, as well as ways we can improve our programming. To leave comments, please email cjsfprog@sfu.ca or call 778-782-4423. This information can also be found on our website at www.cjsf.ca.
Listen to music and podcasts from CGSF 90.1 FM with our radio app. It's on-the-go listening made easy. You can tune into all our music, spoken word, and multicultural shows using your device. Our app lets you set reminders so you'll never miss your favorite show again. Stay connected to CGSF 90.1 FM through our community radio app. Download the app from the Apple Store or get it on Google Play.
Volunteering at CJSF 90.1 FM is a great experience and is easy to get started, so I'll tell you a little bit about it in the hope that you reach out. As this station is run almost entirely by volunteers, you have a variety of ways to get active at CJSF. Every department can use a little bit of help. Arts and entertainment. Well, you can write and produce reviews, conduct interviews of local musicians, the music library, acquiring, organizing, reviewing, and compiling charts. Public affairs. Interviewing groups, attending events, recording lectures. Public relations, postering, graphic design, and programming. You can host your own show or work on a collective. Production, audio editing, and PSA building. And once you feel comfortable, you can even volunteer to help the volunteers. So volunteer with us at CJSF 90.1. Email us at vol4cjsf@sfu.ca.
Hi, it's Steve Chong. Today is May 15th, 2025, and on the line is... Please introduce yourself.
Oh, hey, Steve. It's Dylan Kruger from Delta City Council. Thanks for having me on.
Dylan Kruger is a two-time Delta City Councilor, originally elected in 2018. On top of being a Delta City Councilor, Dylan has multiple municipal appointments, including as a council liaison for the Ladner Business
Boston Business Improvement Associations, and the vice chair for the Metro Vancouver George Massey Crossing Task Force, as the four-lane 66-year-old tunnel connects Northwest Delta, the Ladner neighborhood, to Richmond's Steveston. Dylan, thanks for the interview today.
Steve, thanks so much for having me.
For context, the Massey Tunnel Replacement Project has been a long controversy, with a 10-lane replacement announced in September 2013 by the former BC Liberal Premier Christy Clark. But the BC NDP put a hold on the idea 4 years later, 4 months after getting elected in September 2017 for an independent review. The former Delta Mayor, Louis Jackson, preferred the 10-lane bridge, but the Richmond Mayor, Malcolm Brody, and his council opposed the idea. While the Delta Mayor, George Harvey, originally supported the 10-lane bridge after getting elected in 2018, he ultimately walked the support back in October 2019 after concerns on the light and shade that a bridge would have posed, and concerns from Marina Garden Estate residents in the northern tip of Ladner. An 8-lane tunnel to replace the current Massey Tunnel was endorsed by Metro Vancouver mayors in November 2019, and the BC government ultimately chose a toll-free 8-lane tunnel over an 8-lane bridge in August 2021, with the design-build contractor, the Cross Fraser Partnership, a 5-team consortium chosen last July. However, the Massey Tunnel Replacement Project has been marred with multiple delays as congestions in the current Massey Tunnel have worsened, and some have suggested had the original 10-lane bridge replacement gone ahead at an estimated cost of $3.5 billion, with the lowest bid coming in at $2.6 billion, it would have been completed by now. Meanwhile, the current Massey Tunnel project is slated to be completed in 2030 at the earliest, with the original price tag at $4.15 billion, but there are fears that the cost could balloon. So the first question is, what is your personal preference between a bridge and a tunnel replacement?
Well, there's no question that the bridge was the superior project. It was a cheaper project. It would have saved taxpayers over $1 billion. It was a larger project. It would have been a 10-lane bridge compared to an 8-lane tunnel. The bridge would have allowed for light rail or rapid transit to cross the Fraser River. It would have been at a grade that would have allowed the extension of the Canada Line or a new equivalent rail system. We will have no opportunity for light rail transit in the new tunnel, with the gradient being too steep. The bridge also had several environmental benefits as well. The bridge would have been constructed on pedestals and would not have touched the Fraser River estuary. To build a tunnel, which is a submerged tube, you need to construct that tunnel in segments on dry land. So the province will actually be paving over dozens of acres of farmland on both the Delta and the Richmond side of the crossing to build these tunnel segments and then barge them out into the river and plunk them down in the middle of a very sensitive ecological area. So there's no question, not to mention the fact that Dees Island Regional Park will unfortunately have to see hundreds of trees cut down to accommodate this tunnel. So we could have built the bridge cheaper, would have been more environmentally friendly, and it would have been completed over 3 years ago. Instead, we'll be waiting years and years and years for a desperately needed replacement for this aging and seismically unsafe Massey Tunnel.
Which option does most of the Delta City Council currently prefer, given its support for a bridge replacement back in 2018?
The council has been on the record a number of times unanimously in preference for a bridge, which is why our mayor's flip-flop to support a tunnel was quite surprising at the time. But I think if you ask the majority of residents in Delta, they just want a solution you know, bridge, tunnel, or zip line at this point. People just want to see something get done. And they're tired of the delays. They're tired of the politics. You know, they're losing hope. They're sitting in traffic nightmares every single day. We need to get shovels in the ground on any sort of project to relieve the congestion.
BC Conservative South Delta MLA Ian Payton also echoed environmental concerns of the new tunnel. But how do you address concerns from Marina Garden Estate residents who are closest to the Massey Tunnel on the Delta side and ultimately convince the current Delta Mayor George Harvey to support the new 8-lane tunnel?
You know, that decision has been made at this point, but I guess what I would say is that we have bridge crossings for every major crossing in Metro Vancouver except for the Massey Tunnel, so it's not unusual to have a bridge crossing in close proximity to residential neighborhoods. This is not just about the 100,000 people a year stuck in gridlock at this outdated tunnel. It's also a national trade corridor. You know, we're increasingly talking about reducing our reliance on the United States for trade, opening up other markets in the Asia-Pacific region. We have goods that are destined for Delta Port, which is the largest container port terminal in Western North America, in my community in Delta, stuck, unable to move because they're stuck in this tunnel. The problem, one of the biggest flaws with the replacement tunnel at 8 lanes is two of those 8 lanes, one lane in each direction, is a bus-only lane, which means that we are replacing what is today a three-lane northbound crossing with a counterflow lane with another three-lane crossing. You will not see a single lane of additional capacity with this 8-lane tunnel. So frankly, Steve, it's not a well-thought-out plan. It's a political plan. We all know it's because the NDP government didn't want to build the Christie Clark Bridge. But who loses when these parties play politics and the mayors play politics? Regular people just trying to live their lives, get to work, get to doctor's appointments, get to YVR Airport, get caught, and they're the ones who suffer the most.
While the BC NDP ultimately killed the 10-lane bridge replacement for the Massey Tunnel, constant opposition from the Richmond Mayor, Malcolm Brody, and the Richmond City Council can't be ignored either. What is your response to Richmond's opposition to a bridge replacement, with the city's mayor, Malcolm Brody, and their council being silent to recent delays to the new 8-lane Massey Tunnel?
Yeah, it's disappointing, and it's disappointing that the province considered consultation with a bunch of mayors to be sufficient in terms of regional consultation. This is not a municipal project. This is not a Richmond project or a Delta project or a Metro Vancouver project. This is a BC provincial transportation asset, and the province should be less focused on what mayors think, who, last time I checked, mayors are not engineers. They're not environmental. They're not environmental assessment experts. They're certainly not economists. So I think the province should spend less time listening to out-of-touch mayors and more time listening to the needs of actual residents on the ground who are desperate to see movement on this issue.
Now to the Massey Tunnel replacement project. Tell me more about the proposed River Road overpass, the second exit out of Bladner.
This has really been a disappointment for our community. The original bridge project, which again would have been completed 3 years ago, included a reconnection of the historic River Road, which was severed in the 1950s when the Massey Tunnel was constructed, to alleviate traffic and congestion in Bladner and get people moving again. When the new tunnel was announced in those early days, we actually saw renderings that included keeping that second exit out of Bladner through River Road as an overpass over the new tunnel. Suddenly and without warning, a couple of years ago, those renderings disappeared entirely. The province literally erased this component of the project. Delta Delta Council has been advocating very hard to have this second crossing reintegrated into the project. We're continually told by senior governments that they want us to grow, they want us to approve more housing projects in our community, and yet they're not stepping up with the infrastructure to accommodate that growth. We were told by the province, who came to a council meeting on February 13, 2023, that if the federal government would step up for funding for the George Massey Tunnel Replacement Project, the province would reintegrate a desperately needed second exit out of Ladner into the scope of the project. Well, the bombshell in our community was just before the federal election a couple of weeks ago, our outgoing member of parliament, Carla Qualtro, announced that the federal government had in fact put a deal on the table worth hundreds of millions of dollars to fund that second exit and to fund this replacement project, and the province turned them down. So we have a lot of questions in our community. Why the province continues to reject funding from the federal government, why the province doesn't include the Massey Tunnel Replacement Project in the Minister of Transportation's mandate letter. Is this project even a priority for this government? You know, a child who was born in 2013, when this project was first announced, will have their driver's license prior to this project's completion sometime in the 2030s. It's simply unacceptable.
Finally, on May 9th, which was last Friday, the BC NDP provincial government submitted a new application for an environmental certificate for the Massey Tunnel Replacement Project, a toll-free 8-lane immersed tunnel. When do you think that the project will be completed, and at what cost?
That's a billion-dollar question, because the last time we had a budget update on this project was 2021, 4 years ago, when the, let's remember, a bridge project would have been completed for $2.6 billion. In 2021, the latest estimate for the tunnel was $4.1 billion, over $1 billion more expensive. Well, in that time, we've had rapid inflation, we've had labor cost escalations, we've had trade and tariff tensions with the United States over steel and aluminum and other products. There is no way this project will be completed at the $4.1 billion price tag from 4 years ago, and there is no way this project will open on time in the year 2030. As you said, the environmental assessment application was just submitted on Friday in May of 2025, and they're expecting to break ground in less than 12 months' time. It's never going to happen. This has been one of the biggest failures in terms of moving forward with critical transportation infrastructure in this province in the 21st century. It's deeply unserious, and again, the people who get hurt the most are the regular folks just trying to live their lives stuck in this traffic nightmare every single day.
Thank you for the interview today. Our conversation will be online sometime today. Might be just before noon or sometime this afternoon. And will air on CJSF tomorrow afternoon.
Fantastic. Well, thanks, Steve, for covering this important topic. And thanks so much for having me on to chat about it. Really appreciate it.
Thank you, and have a good day.
Thanks, you as well. Bye for
now. Bye.
That was my interview with the Delta City Councilor, Dylan Kruger, on the Massey Tunnel replacement, a saga that has gone on for over a decade with no end in sight. Now I'd like to shift to the latest on the Surrey Police transition at this time. The SPS released its 2024 report to the community today, where the initial stats included the number of calls for service went down from just under 210,000 to just over 189,000 calls last year. From 2023, the priority one police response time was 6 minutes 55 seconds. Last year it was 7 minutes and 6 seconds. DSPS, as of April of 2025, had 989 total staff with 525 officers and 464 civilian employees. As for its financials, which had been a big topic from the Surrey City and other Surrey RCMP supporters, while the budget was just over 141,500,000 dollars, the actual budget spent last year was under 107 million dollars at 106,736,742, with the actual budget at 141,511,053 dollars. Thank you for listening to episode 19 of the Steve Chong Show in 2025, part of Open Mic on CJSF 90.1 FM, the campus community radio station for Simon Fraser University. I'm your host, Steve Chong. Coming up at 4, it's Voice of the North. Now to the last tune, B44, it's Anthony Moore's Home of the Demo. Here is Judy Judy.
Judy, one day, oh, Judy, through wind You're listening to CJSF 90.1 FM, SFU's community radio station broadcasting live from Burnaby, BC.